We open our meeting this evening by singing together number 25 on the hymn sheet. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Number 25.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the winding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. Be in time.
open the Word of God together. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity this evening once again, opening Thy Word and having these few moments to consider Thy cause of grace, Lord Jesus, Thy desire, Thy deep desire for everyone in this room, for them to be saved, for them to be at the full benefit of what Thou hast worked out for them, benefited for them, done for them on the cross of Calvary. So, Father, we pray Thee that this evening there would be open ears and hearts and salvation brought to someone in this room. We ask Thy help as we consider Thy Word and thoughts from it. We pray Thou wouldst help us by Thy Spirit. We ask it all, Father, with thanksgiving in the blessed and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, this beautiful hymn has some very solemn lines to it. It says in the third verse, "Ere the fatal line be crossed." Well, it's good news that for you tonight in this room, the fatal line has not been crossed yet. You might cross it, though, at any moment. It says, verse 2, second to last line, "Lest you seal your hopeless doom." It's good news tonight, but if you're in this room, you haven't sealed your hopeless doom. There's hope for you tonight. There's love from God to you tonight. Because He doesn't want, if anyone here is without Christ, He doesn't want your Christless soul to be lost forever. Well, let's read tonight from the book of Luke. We had Luke 21 in our reading this afternoon for those that were there. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. The 12th chapter of Luke. And we'll read from verse 15, Luke 12 and 15. If ever I drop my voice and you can't hear me in the back, please put your hand up. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm sure you're all familiar with windows. Windows on buildings. And those of you that have computers, windows on computers. Windows allow you to have partial views, depending on the window. Some people have panoramic windows, and they get large, large views. I'd like to suggest to you tonight we're going to consider windows. But windows of time. Big windows, small windows. This man here, considering the future, he had a large window for the time he thought he had in the future. He says in verse 19, to his own soul, talking to himself. Wasn't talking to God, talking to himself. And he said, "Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years." He had a window on his future, and he could see many years of eating, drinking, and being merry. And God says, "Fool." His window of time wasn't that big. He really had a tiny window of time, which was that very day. He was thinking of these things because that night he was going to cross into eternity. Do you have a window of time before you? Perhaps you're young and you consider life ahead of you and you say, "Oh, maybe I have many years, 50 years, 60 years. Maybe you're older, my age, and maybe 15, 20 years. That's many years. We considered this afternoon some verses in Luke chapter 21. And if I understand the scriptures correctly, none of us here have many, many years ahead of us. The Lord Jesus is coming very soon. I don't know how big a window of time that is, but I know it's not going to be 50 years. It's not going to be 30 years. It's not going to be 20 years. It's in a short period of time. Nobody can say when, but certainly we have indications before us that this time is on the horizon. Well, this man, he was living for himself. He had prosperity. And his prosperity was a snare for his soul. He had many things. He had too many things. He didn't know what to do with them. So he had to tear down his barns and build a bigger barn. Get a bigger place to store all the things he had. If I looked at the nations across the world this evening and considered the prosperity of the nations, which nation do you think, or which nations perhaps do you think, could be classified as prosperous nations, where people have many things, where they have more things than most people have? Wouldn't you agree that North America, United States, Canada, generally people have many, many things. Many things. And many things take up a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of preoccupation. And perhaps you have many things yourself, but you're detached from them. Or perhaps like this man, those things have a little special place in your soul. This man, these things filled his soul. He thought to himself, didn't ask God, "What should I do with these things? All these things that I can enjoy, they're all for me." He said to his own soul, "Soul, how do you compare tonight with this fellow in your life? What's in your soul tonight? What are the objects tonight filling your soul, giving you delight?" This man had plans for the future, and they were sadly interrupted. Eat, drink, make merry. He was going to have a good time. I can tell you from the Word of God that this world is not in for a good time. It's not in for a merry time. It's in line for a time of great sorrow and difficulty. And if you're in this room tonight, and you let yourself be indifferent to the calls of God, and you leave this room tonight without having the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, you might be in yourself for a terrible time. And worse still, because people that are in this world that are lined up for a terrible time, they might not all end up in the lake of fire. But my friend, if you're here tonight, and God gives you the opportunity, as in other occasions, to hear about His love and the gift of His Son, and you ignore His pleadings, and you say, I'll think about it, maybe tomorrow, you might end up in a Christless eternity. Because you're responsible for what you hear. You're responsible for what God sets before you. And God would set before you tonight His love and His desire for blessing for you. The last thing God wants is for you to be lost forever. The Lord Jesus gives us this parable, and He warns us about the snares of prosperity, being occupied with things down here and missing out on the important things of eternity, not having a treasure in heaven. You know, many of us here, we have a treasure in heaven. And the treasure that we have in heaven is the Lord Jesus Himself, the Son of God. We have Him as our Savior. We were exposed one time in our life, or many times perhaps, to the callings of God. And we listened. And we responded. We believed and we received from God eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a hope and glory. All these things spelled out for us in black and white in the Word of God. Well, this man, he had a window of time of many years. But it didn't turn out to be that long, did it? Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, these ones here, referred to in the 13th verse, they had a window too, a window of time. In the future. Today, tomorrow, maybe for a year. There's a smaller window than the fellow in Luke chapter 12. We're going to go. We're going to buy, we're going to sell. We're going to be prosperous. They had opportunity. They had a window of opportunity. You know, if I looked at the same nations I was looking at before and compared, we compared prosperity. If I compared the windows of opportunity, the windows of opportunity offered to people in other lands, and I compared that with different lands, I say, which countries offer the greatest windows of opportunity? I'd have to say North America. North America, favored lands, even in our difficulties now and economic restraints, favored lands. Well, these fellows here, they say they made plans. There was opportunity, and they said, well, let's take advantage of the opportunity. Today, tomorrow, we go over there, that city, and we're going to buy, going to sell, we're going to prosper. Well, I said, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen today. The day isn't over yet. But they were making plans today, tomorrow, and for a year. Now, the apostle is writing to people who are believers, so he said, you shouldn't talk like that because you're being quite independent. You should talk and say, if the Lord will, if God will. You can make plans, but make sure you include God in your plans. You set your plans before God that it's something that he will approve of. But you know, many people in this world, they make plans, all sorts of plans, short-term plans, long-term plans. It doesn't concern God at all. But you know, God has plans, and his plan is what's going to happen in the end. What God plans, he carries out. And what God says he planned, he's going to carry out in absolute detail the way he said he was going to carry it out. It's laid out for us in this book. I often have occasion to speak to men in therapy houses, and the question comes up now. Do you think the end of the world is going to come in 2012, because they made a movie and some Mayan calendar there, they decided to stop somewhere and they stopped in 2012 because it was getting tired of chipping off the rocks, you know. So they made 2012 a special year. Is that maybe the end of the world? I said, no. The end of the world is not going to happen for another 1,007 years from this book here. There's something on the horizon, though, that might begin this very night, or tomorrow, or within a year. And it's going to start as soon as the Lord Jesus comes from heaven and takes to himself those he bought with his precious blood, of whose number I'm so grateful to be part of, and many in this room. Now, perhaps in your mind, in your soul, you have a window for opportunity, and you have plans in this world. But if you're a believer, make sure you include God in your plans. But if you're not, if you've not received the Lord Jesus yet as your Savior, you need to take notice. It says your life is but a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanish it away. A vapor that appeareth for a little time. You get a hot cup of coffee. Dear brother served me one this morning, put it on the table. I could see there was smoke coming out of there. Vapor. That's like my life. Whoop, where'd it go? It's gone. And those of us are farther on in years, we can tell you, our life is, I look back in 60 years. It just went like that. Maybe if I'm 80, say, I'm 80. And it seems the older I get, the faster it goes. Maybe you're young and say, oh, I have lots of time before I get Mr. Payette's age with the gray hair. It'll be a long time. It's like a vapor. When you're going to look back and say, oh, it just went like that. God has given you, he's given me a window of time, which is your life. And during this life, he holds you responsible. He holds you responsible for what you've seen and heard and what's been set before you. And he's going to hold you responsible for being here this evening. So will I. And perhaps you were here at the last gospel meeting the week before. Makes you responsible for what God sets before you. I have a question for you. It's a very simple question. Before I ask the question, I'd like to tell you the gospel in my own words. Could read many verses on here. I'll probably be quoting some. The gospel means good news. And the good news from the Word of God is that God loves you. No doubt about that. And he proved his love towards you, even though you're a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. That while you're yet a sinner, Christ died for you. This is a fact that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He rose again in the glory now. But who he died for? He died for sinners. He died for me. And he died so he could save you. And the good news tonight, my friend, is God can save you tonight. You can be on your way to heaven If you receive the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, you accept Him and what He's done for you on the cross, and God will wash all your sins away in His precious blood and make you fit for heaven. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My question for you is a closed question. When you take sales courses, they teach you to have closed questions and open questions. Open questions. You can answer, what do you think about Mr. Obama? That's an open question. I think, why I feel, closed questions, it's yes or no. Do you want this? Yes or no. My question is a closed question. Tonight, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes or no? You don't have to answer me. You answer in your heart. If you never said yes, I urge you tonight to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Any other answer tonight? Any other answer is a no. Somebody says, well, later. That's no. I'll think about it. That's no. God is not asking you to think about it. God is asking you to decide for Christ tonight. You know, windows of time, we can shorten. This man had many years before him, and he lost his soul that night. These ones that wanted to go in a city and prosper tomorrow and for a year, they had a year before them. You know, in the Bible, in the Word of God, there's only one day. There's only one day you can be sure to be saved on. You know that, children, in the Bible? There's only one day you can be sure to be saved on. I was talking about this to my brethren in Africa, and somebody says, Sunday! I said, no. It's not Sunday. And maybe if you were a Jew, said, Saturday! Not Saturday either. The only day to get saved in the Bible is today. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's today. God offers us windows of time, windows of opportunity to be saved. And He's giving us tonight a window of opportunity. He's letting us hear about His Son. And He pleads with us. And He says, tonight, today, this very day, this Saturday, the day Saturday. And He says, you can be saved today. Maybe tomorrow, but I can't be sure about tomorrow. But you can be absolutely sure about today. Now, if a window of time is today, we say today is 24 hours. No. This morning, it's too late. This morning is gone. And this afternoon is gone. You can say this evening. This evening. There's a time to be saved. Well, you know, I wear glasses. And sometimes I don't have my glasses. And if I don't have my glasses, I can see you. I can drive. I don't drive good with glasses either, but I can drive. But sometimes I want to read something. I don't have my glasses. You know what I do? I make a little teeny-weeny window with my fingers. I do that. I just make a little, and I can read one word, two words, three words. I can read this way. Can't read for long, but I can read. A teeny-weeny window. I can't see the people. I can't see the room. All I see is a few words in that little teeny window. Well, tonight, I have a teeny-weeny window of time for you. It's not even a day. It's not an evening. It's one moment. It's one moment, my friend. And the present moment In a few seconds, it's gone forever. You're never going to get it again. You're never going to see what was this morning again. That was gone. Time's like that. The window of time just moves along. And God gives us tonight one moment. It just takes one moment for you to answer this question from God Himself. Will you have the Lord Jesus tonight as your personal Savior, yes or no? And if in your heart right now, this very moment, you say, yes, I'll have Him. I'll trust Him. I want Him as my Savior. Well, I'm going to see you in heaven. And there's going to be rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented and accepted the gift of God, eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, moments are going by. Perhaps you've heard this message before, and perhaps you're thinking about it, and the time is going by. And maybe the meeting's going to be over in a few minutes there, and you will not have answered. You will not have answered God's question. You might be serious about it. You might be considering it really seriously. It's a solemn question. You can feel on the horizon there's difficulties coming for mankind. And you can see from the Word of God that you're going to have to answer to God for your life and for what He set before you. And in a future day, definitely you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Himself and will answer to Him for all you've done and for the missed occasions when God gave you windows of time and opportunity to repent and believe the gospel. Well, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You know, some people, and perhaps many people could say, I don't know how to get saved. I don't know what getting saved is. I don't know about Jesus, never heard of Him. I really don't know. You'd be surprised how many people are ignorant of the wonderful good news. They're not voluntarily ignorant, they just never heard it. They never were given an opportunity of time to be saved. And God knows that. And He's a righteous judge. But you won't be able to have that excuse. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. The Apostle Paul is in Athens, and he's been seeing all these heathen gods that man's imagination invented. And he was upset, and he started talking with the people there, and he gives them the gospel. Somebody was telling me that in the Hindu religion, they had millions of gods. The Greeks didn't have that many. Millions of gods. How come they have millions of gods? It's ignorance. The Greeks, they thought that this was the god of the wind and the god of the sea and the god of the air and the god of this and the god of that. They were ignorant. Never heard the gospel before. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God passed over or winked at. Okay. You're ignorant. Maybe someone here never heard the gospel before. Never, ever. I doubt it, but perhaps there's someone here never heard the gospel. Maybe they were too young. Didn't pay attention, and now they're paying attention. Now they hear the gospel. God passes over times of ignorance. Okay. But now, there's this now again. Present moment, little window of time. But now, commanded. A commandment. Now, I'm not general here, but if a general in his army has soldiers sitting before him and he says, I command you to stand up, you'd hear the noise and it's boom, everybody gets up. Nobody dares disobey the commandment of a general. But you know, man, he's so stubborn and rebellious that he refuses to obey when God commands. God commanded all men, that includes women and children, that's all human beings, everywhere. That's Dorothy. And China and everywhere else. All men everywhere to repent. To own before Him that we're not what we're supposed to be. That we did things we weren't supposed to do. We have thought things we shouldn't, weren't supposed to think. We said things we weren't supposed to say. And we agree that they're wrong. It's wrong to lie and to cheat and to steal and to covet. We acknowledge that. God says you'd better. He wants you to repent. He wants me to repent. Because, verse 31, He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He had ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised him from the dead. There's the judge. The judge is God Himself, yes. But the judge is a man. A man with flesh and bones. A man that everyone that God ordered to repent is going to stand before. A man with holes in his hands, in his feet, in his side. Marks on his brow where he had the crown of thorns. The same man that was hanging on the cross and mocked at, the one that was spit upon and we hit with our fists. And we said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. That man is the judge. I wouldn't want to stand before Him. Having despised the times that He set before me, these nail prints hands, and He said, come to me. I love you. I want to save you. I want to save you now, like we sing in the hymn. He will save you. He will save you. Not tomorrow. He'll save you now. And if He saves you now, He'll save you forever. But if you say, I'll think about it. That's no. Later, that's no. And I'll think about it, and later might mean never. You might very well cross that fatal line. You might cross this line tonight when God closes the window of opportunity. When the Lord Jesus comes from heaven and He says, it's over. Those that are in, they're in. And those that are out and they stay out. If you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in the window in the future. I don't know how far in the future. But it's not in 1,000 years. It's in a close future. In terms of years. In a few years perhaps. Maybe less. Maybe less than 5 years. I don't know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks of a future time. When people who have heard, like you're hearing tonight, about the Lord Jesus, have been called by God to repent and believe the gospel. and said, I'll think about it later, tomorrow. And the door's going to be shut and going to be left outside. And this is what's going to happen to them. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaks of Satan, verse 9, even him, that's the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I believe in Him. I'm a poor believer, but I do believe Him and confess Him wholeheartedly as my personal Savior. He died for me on the cross. He shed His blood for me. But I never saw any signs and wonders. Never. I never witnessed a real miracle. I know many things in my life and that I've seen and see the Lord work, and I thank Him. But I never seen somebody being miraculously healed, you might say. All of us. I've never seen that. This is going to happen here. Signs and wonders. People say, wow, look at that. Ooh, remarkable. It's not God. The Lord Jesus was here. He did all these wonderful signs. Remarkable. And generally, the people who witnessed the signs, the remarkable signs and the miracles, they didn't believe. And here's poor old me. Never saw Him. Never saw a miracle. And I believe in Him. How's that? Because God, by His Spirit, He came and He knocked at the door of my heart, at the door of the heart of many in this room, and said, you're a sinner. You need to be saved. Here's the Lord Jesus. Look at what He did on the cross. Will you have Him? And I said, yes. And many in this room said, yes, I want Him as my Savior. And perhaps you haven't said yes yet. And these people, they heard. They didn't say yes. Those that saw the miracles, they said, oh, away with this man. We don't want him to rule over us. Away with him. Crucify him. They did that. And there's another one coming with signs and wonders. But they're lying signs and wonders. He's a deceiver. He's not the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, verse 10. Now notice this. In them that perish. There are those who are going to perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now there are those who are going to perish. Why do they perish? They do not perish because they are sinners. That's not what it says. They perish. Why do they perish? Because they are sinners. No. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Because had they received the love of the truth, they would have been saved. Tonight, my friend, I have a close question. Will you receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Yes or no? Later, you might be part of those that are going to perish. Tomorrow, you might be part of those that are going to perish. It might become never. You might cross that fatal line and end up with this company of people that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. How is it presented here? It's presented as the love of the truth. You know, the truth of the Scripture presents the love of God to you. Why would God not spare His Son, who always did those things that pleased Him? Why would He not spare His Son to spare you, to spare me? Why would He do that? What could He see in me or in you that was better or even close to any measure of comparing with His Son? There was nothing but love in God's heart. And if God loved you so much and is so patient to offer this to you again tonight, and you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved, then you might be lost forever. I hope not. And maybe if the Lord tarries, next Sunday night you'll be here, and maybe somebody here will present the gospel. Maybe. Maybe tomorrow you'll be reading something and it'll touch your heart and you're going to get saved. Praise the Lord. If it happens, that's maybe. But the little window of time that God gives us tonight, it gives us absolute certainty, is now. Right now. You can say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Settled forever. I receive the love of the truth. I'm a sinner, and Jesus is the only Savior of sinners, and I'll have Him for my Savior tonight. Do you have Him? Do you have Him as your Savior tonight? Don't put it off. Don't put it off one moment longer. Do it now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 6, rather 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, that's God, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I like to ask questions from the Word of God. And I only accept perfect answers from the Word of God. Read that verse again. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Here's my question. When is the accepted time? Anybody have an answer? Anybody have an answer?
No.
Now, thank you very much. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My question is, when is the day of salvation?
Now.
Now. It's right now. Not in 5 minutes, not in 20 minutes, not tomorrow morning. It's right now. Now, this window of opportunity has been going on for 2,000 years. This now has been going on for 2,000 years. God has been asking men, women, children to come to Him through the Lord Jesus, and He's saved millions, and He's still doing that now. And maybe someone in this room tonight say, I'm coming now. Not tomorrow, right now. We read in Matthew chapter 25, 10 virgins. And they, five of them come at the door and say, Lord, 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 Lord. Too late. It wasn't now anymore. It was too late. The door was closed. The window was closed. The opportunity was gone. And the door was shut. We marvel at the patience of God, His long-suffering over this world, that tonight still He's calling men and women, boys and girls, to come to the Lord Jesus. He wants His house to be full. Yet there's room. It'd be wonderful if everyone in this room tonight could say, I'm on my way to heaven. I know the Lord as my Savior. And perhaps you've never told anyone. Perhaps you weren't saved. But tonight, accept the Lord as your Savior. Maybe if you're part of a Christian family, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your friends. Confess Him. He's so worthy. The Lord Jesus is so worthy of you to confess Him as your own personal Savior. He's going to be so happy if tonight you seize the opportunity. In the land of opportunity and prosperity, you will become more prosper than you ever imagined. You're going to become a son and a daughter of God. And you're going to inherit all things with the Lord Jesus. And instead of spending a lost eternity in weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teat. You'll be happy forever in the presence of God. You'll be absolutely happy forever and ever. Well, just before we close, I just want to plead with you one more time. We have gospel meetings generally every week, but there's a time when gospel meetings will stop. And the other one we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will be seducing boys and girls and moms and dads too, who were Christians by name, who knew about the Lord Jesus, who had heard of the Word of God, but did not receive the love of the truth to be saved. I hope that's not you. I hope that tonight you can answer my closed question. Will you receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior? You could say yes in your heart. Say yes to the Lord tonight, and you'll be on your way to heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, for that love of thine that did not spare thine only Son, but delivered him up for us all. We thank thee, Father, for such a Savior. We thank thee for the simplicity of the message. Thou dost draw us simply to come. Come as we are, knowing that there's provision for our sins and for our waywardness and for all these things that we carry on our consciences. We just thank thee, Lord Jesus, thou didst love us so much. And thou didst accept that we spit in thy face and hit thee with our fists, and yet thou didst say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We pray tonight that if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that they would know what they're doing in postponing, putting off, waiting longer, rejecting, saying no. We pray all would have said yes in their hearts. We ask it, Father, and we thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy goodness to us, for the hope that we have of thy soon coming, for all that belongs to us in thee. And we thank thee in thy precious name. Amen.